You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on June 10th, 2021. This week, we're going to be talking about whether Christians need other Christians in order to follow the Lord, or if we can be faithful to God without other believers. This is an important topic, especially in light of this last year that we've had with the pandemic and the lockdowns and closures and isolation for many that followed with that. So for links to the story we're going to be talking about, as well as the related materials, you can check out the show notes at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/061021. Now for our story for this week. Churchgoers hold conflicting views on the need for other Christians. From Lifeway Research, it says Protestant churchgoers say they can walk with God just fine by themselves, but they also say they need other believers to help them do it. A Lifeway Research survey sponsored by the Center for Church Revitalization at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary finds majorities of those who attend U.S. Protestant or non-denominational churches at least monthly agree with the two sentiments that are seemingly in conflict. 3 in 4 Protestant churchgoers, 75%, say they need other believers to help them grow in their walk with God, with 38% strongly agreeing. Despite that, 65% of Protestant churchgoers say they can walk with God without other believers, with 36% agreeing strongly. According to Kenneth Priest, interim director of the church or of the Center for Church Revitalization at Southwestern, those two statements are contradictory, and churches need to help those in the pew recognize the conflict. Now, I might disagree with Mr. Priest about whether those statements are contradictory or not. It really depends on what we mean by those statements, and we're going to talk about that here in this episode. On one hand, as you look at those statistics that are in the article, on one hand, you have a majority who believe that they, quote, need other believers to help them grow in their walk with God. On the other hand, a majority say that they can, quote, walk with God without other believers. Now, I would change the wording slightly to both of those statements if I were to try to describe what the Bible teaches, because I think the idea behind those is not as contradictory as they're made out to be. They just need to be worded a little bit differently. But rather than saying that we need other believers to help us grow in our walk with God, I would say that we need to encourage one another and help one another to grow in our walk with God. And rather than saying that we can walk with God without other believers, I would say that God expects us to be in fellowship with other believers. However, we need to be faithful to God even if no one else is faithful to Him too. And here's the reason why I think it's important to make that clarification. We are each individually accountable to the Lord. A couple of passages on this point that will make this very clear. One is in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. It says, "The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself." That passage shows us that we will be held responsible for what we do, not what others do. The soul who sins will die. One person will not bear the punishment for another person. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 in the New Testament, Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Paul is saying there that we will stand before the Lord in judgment, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will stand there as individuals, not as families, not as churches, not as nations or any other group we want to come up with. We are going to stand before the Lord as individuals. So because we are each going to stand before the Lord as individuals, we need to take personal responsibility and make sure that we are right with the Lord, even if no one else is faithful to Him. Consider the example of the church in Sardis, one of the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation. They were addressed in Revelation chapter 3 at the beginning of that chapter. Notice what the Lord said to them in the first four verses of Revelation 3. It says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you." But then notice what he says in verse 4. "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." This congregation that is described here was described by Jesus as a dead church. They had a reputation or a name that they were alive, but that was not how he saw them, which is really what counts. Again, we are accountable to him. So he saw them as a dead church. However, he also saw that there were a few in Sardis who were worthy to walk with him, despite the fact that the congregation as a whole was spiritually dead. Those spiritually dead members that were in that church would have been no help to the faithful Christians who were there. In fact, you could argue, and I think this is reasonable to think, that they would have been more of a discouragement and a hindrance to those who are trying to be faithful than anything else. As we interact with other people and we have people who may be discouraging and hindering us in our service to God, that makes it more difficult for us to be faithful to the Lord. But despite the lack of help from these brethren and the negativity and the hindrances and the discouragement that they were providing for those who were trying to follow the Lord, those few, they still remained faithful to the Lord, even though the majority, the church in Sardis there, the church that was described by Jesus as dead, even though they were not. We need to be faithful to the Lord, even if no one else around us is. Does that make it more difficult? Of course it does. Does that make it impossible? I don't think we can say that. Our eternal fate is not dependent upon what others do or do not do. Our society has gotten away from the notion of taking personal responsibility. We can see that in so many areas of our culture and life around us. We can see that people don't want to take responsibility for their actions, whether it's they're earning a living or just anything that we see that is going on in society. People do not want to take responsibility for their actions. They want to blame their parents. They want to blame society. They want to blame their schools. They want to blame the government. They want to blame everyone else. Any way that they can pass the blame off from themselves to someone else so that they don't have to take responsibility for the condition that their life is in, well, people are more than happy to do that, eager to do that. Our society is moving in this direction where you're not responsible for your lot in life. And as our culture shifts more towards collectivism and socialism politically, we need to be careful that we don't allow that influence to taint our concept of spiritual things and our responsibility before God. Because each one of us individually can and must faithfully serve the Lord regardless of what others do. Now, does that mean that we should try to isolate ourselves from others? No, we shouldn't do that. We have certain responsibilities towards others. Notably, I want to notice three in the New Testament. Three responsibilities that we have to one another. One, we are to encourage one another. Hebrews 3:12-13 says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We can resist temptation on our own through the way of escape that God has promised that he will provide. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. We can find that way of escape. We can take that way of escape. But we have a much greater chance of success if we have others to encourage us in this. And so that's why the Hebrew writer said, "You encourage your brethren." What's interesting, though, he does not say, "You get encouragement from your brethren because otherwise you can't resist these temptations." No, he said, "You encourage one another." It's not focused on, well, what other people need to provide for me, but what we are providing for others. We need to be faithful no matter what anyone does or doesn't do. We've already made that point. So this is not about, well, I can blame others for not encouraging me if I sin. No, we're responsible for ourselves. But he says, "You encourage others." Second point, responsibility we have toward others, is that we are to assemble with one another. Again, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, he said, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We need to do this as much as possible. Don't forsake our assembly, but he says this in a specific context. All the more as you see the day drawing near. When the Hebrew writer wrote that letter, that day that was drawing near, he talks throughout the letter about how the old system that had been, the law had been nailed to the cross, but there were still the practices of Judaism, practices of the old law that were all around them, that was going to be wiped out. That was going to be gone when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70. That was coming up when he wrote this. And that was going to make for difficult times for all Jews, even those who were Christians. It was going to make for difficult times for them. So he says, as you see this day drawing near, and things are going to get more difficult, you're going to face more hardships, it's going to be discouraging, you need your brethren. You need to encourage one another. You need to assemble, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to assemble regularly, at least weekly, with other Christians. But it is all the more important when we face difficulties like we have over this past year. It's important that Christians are together, that we assemble together so that we can encourage one another. And then the third point I want to notice, what we are responsible to do for one another is that, or with one another, is that we are to work with one another. Ephesians 4, verse 16, Paul said, "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." He's describing the function of the church. And this is one of the reasons why the local church is important. He says that it is a self-edifying body. Each individual part working together causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Each one of us needs to be a part of this. That we can't just isolate ourselves from others and think that we're going to be pleasing to God. We have responsibilities to encourage one another, to assemble with one another, to work with one another. Now, personal responsibility, we've talked about this. We understand the importance of personal responsibility. That should not be seen as a substitute for the help and encouragement that we gain from one another and provide to one another in the body of Christ. So going back to the original idea of people holding supposedly contradictory views about whether Christians need other Christians, let me repeat what I said in qualifying those statements. We need to encourage one another and help one another to grow in our walk with God. And God expects us to be in fellowship with other believers. However, we need to be faithful to God, even if no one else is faithful to Him. So we need one another. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be working together with one another. But at the same time, let's not blame our shortcomings on others. If others aren't living up to the standard that they should, if others aren't encouraging us as we think we need them to, don't blame them for falling short of what God wants you to do and to be. Take personal responsibility. Not isolate yourself, but take personal responsibility. Make sure you are right with the Lord. And then be working to encourage others to do the same thing. You can read more about this topic. There are some links in the show notes. I didn't mention them as we were going through this, but a couple articles that are linked in the show notes. One is about the importance of coming together, an article titled "The Church Gathered Together," and talks about different passages in the book of Acts, how the church gathered together and what they did. And then we've been emphasizing personal responsibility. There's an article titled "Taking Personal Responsibility" that you can check out that talks about some of the things that we've talked about here in this episode. Also, recently I've preached a gospel meeting down at the Mountain View Church of Christ in Sevierville, Tennessee. I mentioned that last week and posted a link to the sermon audio from that meeting. One of the lessons was a lesson on individual and collective responsibilities. And really that whole meeting, the theme was lessons and things that we need to learn and be reminded of from this year that we've just experienced. And this was one of the things that we've talked about, or we talked about in that meeting, that we have responsibilities as individuals. We make sure that we are right with the Lord, but we also have collective responsibilities that we don't need to forsake those because of all the external things that are going on around us. So if you're interested in checking out that lesson, really all the lessons from that series, but that lesson in particular, that really goes along with what we've talked about here in the episode today. So you can check that out. The link to all of the lessons are in the show notes, and the one in particular that goes along with this topic is titled "Individual and Collective Responsibilities." Now that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. And for links to the news story that we talked about, as well as those other links that I just mentioned, you can check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/061021. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So if you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this, I would appreciate it if you could share this episode or share the podcast with them. And if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion here, please send me that link. You can send it to andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening. I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter.